Well, good morning, Emmanuel. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll be in verses 1 through 5 this morning. So I love many cultures. I had in my notes that I love all cultures. I know you'd probably be careful to say that. I know there may be cultures that I'm not just fond of, but in one sense, I do love many, if not all cultures, just in the various distinctives that you can find. Now, it's mostly in relationship to food. Maybe even one of the reasons that we were members here at Emmanuel is not just the glory that Christ is saving a people from all people groups, that we are trying to build a community where Christ is king from all cultures, but I've always just had a general curiosity, why do y'all do things that way? What's the history behind such norms? I mean, I was even able to sit with some of our Hawaiian brothers yesterday and just ask them, why do y'all do things this way? And just genuinely interested. Why do you dress this way? Why do you celebrate this way? Why do you mourn this way? But one thing has become very clear to me in my love for other cultures is that I am clearly an American. This feeling of patriotism doesn't rise up in its strongest moments after I've exercised the right to vote. I don't really put the sticker on me and then do a selfie. It doesn't really happen when I see fireworks on the 4th of July. But oddly, being from a very warm culture in the South, it is watching someone shoot themselves down a tube of ice and a sled with spandex of red, white, and blue at the Winter Olympics. Now, in New Orleans, the only ice we ever see comes out of our freezer. But let an American jam their skates into the ice to compete in speed skating, and the DeLauders are on the edge of their seats. And all our love for other cultures and even the different nationalities, I think we have 8 nationalities represented in our church now. When the Olympics roll around, despite all my love for all these different people groups, I want to dominate everyone. I want to dominate, and I want to dominate even in their national pastimes. I mean, I do want to congratulate my Canadian friends today. I think I heard that you reclaimed gold in curling. I believe that's true. Because honestly, it was a bit awkward for us to win gold in 2022. I enjoyed it, but I was just like, this feels a bit wrong. Chris Shipley told me like they have curling rinks almost in every Canadian town. We don't have that in America, and we still beat y'all. So enjoyed it for that season. Glad y'all could have it back. But all jokes aside, what I love about the Olympics is seeing athletes compete, stand on the podium, sing their national anthem, and see the camera pan its way to their family who have tears of pride rolling down their face. The Olympics really are about honor. The Olympics are about glory. Being recognized on a world stage as the best athlete in your field. And I've seen this happen a couple of times, but I saw it happen again this year. And it was an athlete meeting their parents behind stage after they won an event, after they had sung the anthem. And they come to their parents and they take the gold off their neck and they put it around their parents' neck. The parent who probably introduced them to the sport, the parent who probably fixed them healthy meals before they went off to practice, the parent who actually drove them to practice, they took the honor and glory of their accomplishment and they honored their parents by putting it around their necks. And Emmanuel, in one sense, that's my goal for today. I want to honor you. I want to take the gold medals, the honor, the glory, and bring it back to you and put it around your neck. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Father, this is our prayer this morning. Lord, may your word be honored among us this morning. Lord, I pray that your spirit would help me. Lord, I pray, God, that you would do what men cannot do. Lord, not only that you would encourage hearts this morning, Lord, but that you would save souls. Father, I pray, Lord, as we read and consider your word, Lord, that you would help us by your spirit, Lord, to see the very glory of God in the face of Jesus. And Lord, in seeing that glory, that we may become all the more like Jesus. Lord, I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So I come to preach to you a text today that if you haven't been here for 10 years, it's not gonna be familiar to you. And I say that because I believe the last time this text was preached was in 2015 as Emmanuel, you, Emmanuel, not our Emmanuel yet, we didn't exist, but as you, Emmanuel, Louisville, set to send out our family to New Orleans and Phil and Laura Metcalf to Mexico, Ron got up and preached this sermon or preached this passage from 2 Thessalonians 3. And Ron, in preaching this passage, he laid out the why to pray and the what to pray as we send people out. In this passage, we see that Paul clearly believes that though God is sovereign and does as he pleases, that he clearly works through what? He clearly works through the prayers of his people. And this request of Paul is also helpful to know what to pray if you don't know what to pray. So if you don't get anything else out of this today and you think about your Emmanuel Network partners and you're like, how can I pray for them? You have something that you can pray for them daily. And this, we see right here that the prayer that is asked is for the word to speed ahead and to be honored as it was among you. And so that was our hope and goal as we went out. And I know this is true for many other brothers and sisters who have gone out. We want to see and have wanted to see what happened in the midst of maybe not this building, but Oak and Clay and the body that gathered there. We wanted to see that replicated and happening all across the world. I mean, even as I sing today, I'm encouraged by the congregational singing in our own church, but I'm just like, man, oh, that it could be this loud one day in New Orleans. I've even almost kind of lost my voice. So I got me a little too excited this morning. But the prayer to see the word speed ahead and be honored as it was, and also that we would be delivered from evil people. Ron even noted in his sermon, as we can often think of any efforts to advance the gospel by speed, sometimes we can look at that in a negative way of being just merely pragmatic. But it's in the scriptures, right? We see Paul here calling the church in Thessalonica to pray in such of a manner. Now, we need to see the kingdom does often grow slowly like a crop in a field. But it is a good desire to want to see the kingdom of God to advance with speed. And sometimes I would say this, we're not the best judges of speed. I mean, I talked and Steve shared earlier about Ireland, you know, sometimes when you're in the midst of it and you're just really close and you're seeing day by day, things may seem that they're moving very slowly. But I was amazed to hear 9 churches started in 40 years. I mean, I think that's something worthy to praise God of and seems pretty speedy to me. Obviously, we want to speed more, but praise God for that. Now, today, I really want to do 2 things, and both of them are related to honor. First, I want us to consider what it means to honor the word of the Lord. And secondly, I want to take time to show honor to those who have sent and supported those who have worked to see the word of the Lord honored. That's what I want to do. And first, it's important to see and state up front that this word honor really comes from the same word for glory. So honor, glory. The imagery we have here is that actually of an athlete being gloriously crowned. Their hard work and their performance has shown itself on the field. And from then on, what reflects their efforts and their accomplishments is reflected, honored, and glorified either with a wreath put on their head or a medal put around their neck. This is the glory that you would see here. And just to be clear out the gate, I believe we honor the word of the Lord when we, through the giving of the Spirit, respond in faith to the love of God in Christ by becoming creatures of love ourselves. This is really the fellowship, even as it's been preached this whole week, this is the fellowship that we have with God. God is love. And we come to love him because he has first loved us in Christ through the giving of his Spirit. These are things that we are able, brothers and sisters, to do. And praise God for that. So let's start. The honor of the word of the Lord. What is this prayer for the honor, for the word of the Lord to be honored? Well, first of all, I think it's important to ask, what is the word of the Lord? I mean, it could mean God's word in its totality, from his saving works towards Israel, God's wisdom literature, the Psalter, God's instructions, or it could mean something more specifically like the gospel word, the word of the cross. Now, this is not to pit the gospel word against wisdom literature. All the scriptures wonderfully reveal the character of God. All the scriptures are useful and profitable in helping us to grow in godliness. But all of the scriptures have a climax, right? All of the scriptures have a trajectory. All of the wisdom of the scriptures lead to the wisdom of God. What Paul told the Corinthians was the word of the cross and that which he delivered to them of first importance. That Christ died for sins according to the scriptures. That Christ was buried. That Christ was raised according to the scriptures. And Christ accomplished all of this work as a demonstration of the love of God. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, the message of the gospel is a message, as we even see, as Paul borrows from Isaiah, it is a message declaring the reign of God coming to earth through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we call him Lord. He is God. He is the King of all the earth. He has made atonement for sin. He has defeated death. He has the capacity and the right to pour out the Spirit without measure. And he has subjected every evil power to himself and mocks them every day when he brings a saint to himself into his glorious people, the church. He does this every day, mocking. Even as Jay preached a couple years ago, I can't remember what UFC fighter he said, but it's like he walks around, you know, with some pomp. I own this. I'm the king. This is our message. This is our hope. So when Paul asks for prayer, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, what is he saying? What is he after? And I would say this call to see the word honored, it's not a mere of like, oh yeah, that sounds good to me. Oh, I agree with those tenets of the faith. No, what Paul, as he's asking for this prayer for the word of the Lord to be honored, what he is after is worship. Why? Because by virtue of Christ's resurrection, Christ is Lord and he must be worshiped. It is the only way that he can be responded to. It is the only appropriate response to what Christ has done in his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension, and the hope of him to return. Listen to me, when Jesus is encountered by Mary Magdalene and the Mary that we know as the other Mary, after his resurrection, what did they do? They get on the ground and they grab his feet and they do what? They worship him. And what do you not find in Jesus? You find no rebuke. He welcomes it. He is the King. He is resurrected. When Thomas puts his fingers in Jesus' side and says, my Lord and my God, Jesus doesn't say, hey, you better watch your mouth. Don't you say that. Don't you be flippant with your language and who you call Lord and who you call God. No, Jesus receives worship because he is worthy. And don't miss this, Jesus receives worship because all of those who come to him by faith, being forgiven of their sins, receive his spirit and have fellowship with the living God and become like the Son of God. This is why Paul asked the church that they would pray that the word of the Lord would speed ahead. Christ is Lord, and he is worthy to be praised by every creature. Every person should look to him so that they may have fellowship with the God who has created them. So we should want the word to speed ahead for the glory of Christ, and we should want the word of the Lord to speed ahead for the joy of all peoples. God has created people for himself, and listen to me, you know this if you've come to Christ, everyone is a miserable sinner without fellowship with their God. This is why eternal life is offered to those who believe. It's not just a statement about longevity in a more pleasant place. It is about being. It is about truly being alive. It is about sharing in the very joy and life of God. And this only comes through Christ. Now, what is the defining characteristic of our worship of Christ? Sure, it can be found in the expressions of song, raising our hands, praying to God, things that we have seen this morning, things that can even emotionally move you. But I would submit to you, as we see from the scriptures, if there is something missing, even the loud, beautiful songs that we've heard today are just what? A noisy gong. The defining characteristic in all of these expressions of worship is what? Love. Love. We honor the word of the Lord by becoming like Christ, who is love, by loving as Christ has loved us. You can't miss this about the gospel, that God is powerfully working through his word to make you into the image of Christ, and this means that you become a creature of love. Think about how clear this is in the scriptures. What does Jesus teach us that is the summation of the law? To love the Lord God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. How does Jesus say that people will know these people are his disciples? By their love for one another. How does Jesus illustrate the last judgment and how people are judged? By our love for the least of these. Just as we do so to the most vulnerable in our midst, we have done so to Jesus. Look to the other missionaries and church planters in this room and people who have gone out to do revitalizing works. I don't know what initially led you to go where you went and why that was the case. And I don't know about you, but I did not move to New Orleans just so I can round up a bunch of people who would check all the theological boxes of what I think most adequately reflects the teachings of the Bible. Now, do we want to provide sound teaching? Absolutely. But I want to provide sound teaching so that people may know the love of God and Jesus Christ. Friends, what I love about Emmanuel Community Church in New Orleans is not necessarily that we check all the non-marks boxes. Do we have meaningful membership? And are many churches here even trying to strive towards meaningful membership? Yes, and amen. Do we practice church discipline? Yes. Do we preach expository sermons? Yes. But you cannot miss this. These are not necessarily marks for maturity. Listen, someone who's very pragmatic can look at all those marks and say, hey, it's working. Let's just repackage it. Let's copy and paste it. Friends, we commit ourselves to such forms of ministry because we believe they best facilitate the church to know the love of God in Christ and to love one another. And if that love is not being produced through such forms of ministry, once again, what is it? A loud, noisy gong. Listen to me. What I love about Emmanuel Community Church is that it is a church that by faith is imperfectly trying to live under the smile of God's love expressed through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I love about our church. And this is so important for ministry. And we all will doom ourselves to hell when we come to a place that we excuse ourselves for not being a people of love. Listen, many have been calling evangelicals in these past years to have some more backbone, to not be soft and given to third wayism or nuancing all the time because of the what about isms that may be thrown our way. And we need to hear a lot of these critiques. We need to repent when we are being cowardly. We need to speak clearly and boldly in a variety of ways. But you need to hear me. As you grow a backbone of courage, you cannot lose a heart of love. Grow a backbone and lose your heart, and you will become something demonic. Let me encourage you to have a compassionate imagination, to have a hopeful heart towards sinners. When you think about the gospel speeding ahead with honor, you need to remember it speeds ahead into darkness. That's where it's going. That's why Paul is asking for prayer. So why be surprised when you get there and it's dark? Why get there and be surprised that the word of the Lord is not honored? Do not forget what world we live in. And God's word speaks it very clearly to us, right? Titus 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy. And this is what always sticks out to me about these verses. Hated by others and hating one another. Hated by others and hating one another. This is the state of the world. Friends, don't lose sight of this. Think about when you gather, and I say this to my congregation pretty regularly, so encouraging to see, I'm assuming close to 1,000 people gathered here around Jesus today, seeking Jesus today. But I always try to encourage my congregation, think about our neighbors who are in their homes today. Think about the children living under the terror of the screams of their parents' hatred towards one another. Think about the young man who is sitting in his home right now, completely warping his brain by his use of pornography. All of you are here, but he's not here. Think of the elderly person who has lived such a selfish life, and now they live alone, only to be haunted by the silence every day because nobody loves them to visit them. Think about the people in your neighborhood who are daily numbing themselves with various substances, just trying to get through life. Do you not want the love of God to be honored in the lives of these people? Do you not want them to know that there is a Savior who can tear them from the very grips of Satan's hand because he has no more dominion? Not when Christ says, bring them to me, give them to me. Listen, this is a large room. There's many people, so I want to give two calls right now in this moment. I want to first give a call to those in this room who are not believing. Maybe, I don't know how you ended up in here, maybe you stumbled in. I want to ask you this. Are you not tired of hating others and being hated? Are you not tired of it? Are you not tired of being selfish? In James 3, when he contrasts wisdom and folly, a folly, he says that it is demonic. Now, what is demonic? Listen to what the scripture says is demonic. Wherever jealousy and selfish ambition exist, and where these things exist, James says that there will be disorder and every vile practice. Let me tell you something this morning, dear sinner. Your heart is tired this morning because actually being selfish is a wearisome task. God created you for love. God created you to actually give yourself. So this is why Ryan would even say a while ago, why we as a network believe it is better to what? To give than to receive. God has actually made you for that. So it is a wearisome, it is a tough task being selfish. You will find no joy there. So I want to plead with you. A little bit more of this sermon left. I don't know if you know anybody in this room, but after we take the Lord's Supper, I want you to come to someone and say, take me to Jesus. I am tired. And the good news to you is that our Lord welcomes tired and weary souls to himself. And he has the capacity to give you rest, the capacity to give you joy, the capacity to forgive you of sins. Now, I also want to give a call to the believer. There's many things that we could say about love and what competes against our love this morning, but I want to encourage you to guard against something that will rob you of love, and that's something that I've seen that has robbed me of love. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning to guard against an irritable soul. The one thing that will cause you to stop taking the word of the Lord to sinners with the hopes that the word of the Lord would be honored among sinners is being hardened by the regular, consistent sin and wickedness of sinners. Man, I've seen this in my heart. I live in New Orleans. New Orleans is not a destination that people like, hey, I wanna move there, right? Most of the people who live there, that's their home, that's where they're from, they love it. There's many things that we love about New Orleans. I can tell you there's a lot of things I don't love about New Orleans. I don't love that my truck is falling apart because of all the potholes in my city. I don't love being on the road and almost being run over every day by people who don't have license plates. And I tell you, another thing that really eats away at me is I regularly see homeless people and usually able-bodied men who are younger than me harassing women in their cars because they won't hand them money. I remember there's one such man that I've passed by, he looks younger than me, for about the past 7 years. Our church has actually gone up to him to try to help him and be there for him, only to be received by cursing because we weren't providing what he wanted, which was money. And my dad had just had a heart attack last year. I wasn't in a great mood. I went to work out the next day. I was going to drive up and go see him in Jackson, Mississippi. And as I was coming home, I always passed by this guy every day. And you can imagine, you know, like I just said, I was not feeling the best. And then he comes up to my window, knowing that my church had just come up to him a week ago. And he comes up to my window and he's asking for money. And I was like, look, man, my church just came up to you last week and you cussed them out. Before I could finish that sentence, this dude just starts yelling obscenities at me, telling me that he wants to kill me and all this. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't feeling too pastoral in that moment. There hasn't been too many times in my life where I felt like Doc Holliday and I was like, I'll be your Huckleberry right now. But thankfully, I hope by the Spirit, what was flooding my mind, I could very well be bringing a fist fight to a gunfight. But also, I don't know how you spin in the news, pastor beats homeless man to a pulp. But by God's grace, I just drove home. And look, here's the reality. I've prayed for this man, and the reality is he may never change. He may continue to harass women in their cars because they will not give him money. But we don't give up hope on people because there's people out there who will never change. This room is filled with people who have changed. And so we don't give up on sinners because sinners are sinners. Friends, protect yourself from an irritable soul. I mean, just look at the assumption of Paul's prayers. He petitions for the word of the Lord to speed ahead and be honored because it's not being honored. I also think that recently our family went to Colorado. We used our Mardi Gras break to seek some elevation and saw some friends in Colorado. And there's this woman on the plane. Thankfully, she wasn't sitting next to us because we had a baby as well. But my mom was sitting next to her and she immediately pushed like the little flight attendant thing. And she's flying by herself, but she immediately begins to complain about the baby that's sitting in front of her. And she said, it stinks. And these, you know, poor parents and grandparents, and they're like, lady, just the baby doesn't stink, like you're being, you know, the flight attendant was actually trying to be helpful. Anyway, she kept pushing the button the whole flight. And then as the plane, after 3 hours, started going down, you can imagine the baby's ears started popping. The baby hadn't cried the entire flight. Starts crying, woman starts ringing that bell, getting them back there. And this is what she says: that baby needs to be in cargo. Let me tell you, there's another moment. I was glad I wasn't sitting next to this person. You know, it's just kind of like, you do realize you're on Southwest, right? This is a commercial flight. This is not Delta. What is going on? But I remember my mom was sharing this with us, and my kids were kind of asking, like, why is she like that? And I just said to them, I wasn't trying to be mean by saying this, I was just trying to be honest, she is obviously a miserable person. But here's the question: do I care? Let me tell you something. It's easy to hate. It's easy to have a hard heart. It requires endurance to want to love someone who is unlovable. What would it be like for this miserable woman who would have the audacity to say to y'all should put a baby in cargo? How awesome it would be for her soul to have such joy that she does not have. Friends, love is not irritable. And we will have no heart to pray for the advance of God's word if we become a people who are content and hating people simply because they are wicked. And the reality is, by our own hardness of heart, we will open ourselves up to their own misery. You know, when I think about my own temptations to become irritated with the task of seeing the word of the Lord honored in New Orleans, I think of Jesus' response to the rich young man in Mark 10. This man thinks he's a good man. And for the most part, he is probably better than most in this room. But Jesus knows how to expose him. And Jesus knows that he loves his wealth. And in Mark 10, the young man says, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth." And what does it say? And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Jesus looked at a man who he knew was naive and foolish, and that he loved his wealth more than the God who was before him. And it says that Jesus looked at him with love. Is this a surprise when the most famous Bible verse that we know says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And friends, just to riff off of Ron's sermon from 2 days ago, Jesus is the big A apostle. But Jesus was sent and given because of what? Love. Then how clear, if that's the case, how clear should it be that we little A apostles go out in love, seeing that the word of the Lord would be honored by creating communities of love that glorify Christ? And really, in order to exemplify the love of Christ, we have to exercise a love that possesses endurance and an ability to love our enemies. Remember, Jesus tells us in Luke 6, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you?" That's easy work. It's easy to love the children who run up to you with their little baby eyes and their hands reached up saying, "Dada." That's easy love. He says, "For even sinners love those who love them." Friends, we cannot see the word of the Lord honored among the nations unless we are first ready to honor the word of the Lord by loving people who are not only difficult, but very well may hate us. All right, hard transition. I'm gonna shift the gears really hard. This is what it means to see the word of the Lord honored as it's been sent out. Now, this is what I wanna do. I want to give you examples from those whom you have sent out and prayed for and how the word has been honored in their midst. Really, in an attempt to take the gold medal off of these missionaries that you sent out and to place it on your neck to encourage you. So I asked this of Andy, gave me some of these numbers. Currently, Emmanuel Baptist has 23 active missionaries that they have partnered with and sent out of Emmanuel to see the word of the Lord honored across the globe. And this number doesn't include past missionaries like the Morrises, the Riddles, the Turners, or the McBrooms. And even in the past 10 years, the Emmanuel Network has seen 27 churches planted. Let me say that again. In the past 10 years, 27 churches planted, 9 in North America and 18 internationally. And then these are kind of the broad numbers, but let me just give you some specific words from people that you pray for. So I basically asked some of these planters and missionaries, I wish I could have asked them all, but asked them questions of how Emmanuel Baptist has impacted you and how you've seen the word of the Lord honored in your midst. So Ramney Perez, he shares of many ways that Fordham has been helped by IBC, but says perhaps the most impactful has been the sense of a congregation standing behind their gospel work like Antioch was to Paul and Barnabas. And with regard to the word of the Lord being honored, Remy says, we have seen the power of God's word to create new life where there wasn't and give birth to a congregation that is increasingly learning to love one another. Jay Haynes, I love this response. IBC, listen to this, is, and he put this in capital letters, is the central means by which God has equipped me to love Christ, love my family, and shepherd the church. Hear that again. The central means. He says he has seen the word of the Lord honored as they have seen, listen to this, 8 marriages at their church on the brink of divorce be restored. Rocky Komatsu, whatever, listen to this, whatever good happens in Waiahu is in large part because of Emmanuel's exemplary faithfulness. There have been very few healthy churches in Hawaii, especially ones that are long-term generational local families and Native Hawaiians. Not only can a healthy church be found in Waiahu, but one that is filled with local families and Native Hawaiians. Andrew Hanna, who didn't spend a second in this church, who came out of Emmanuel Community Church in New Orleans. He says, I've been introduced to a number of faithful Christians serving from Mozambique to Utah. I'm pretty sure Harvest Church would not exist without the Emmanuel Network, given that so many church plants have fizzled out in New Orleans over the years. He says he has seen the word of the Lord honored and that they will soon send out Justin and Meredith Sassard to be sent out to be missionaries to Spain. That's a granddaughter church of yours sending out missionaries to Spain in August. And right now I have several young men working towards church planting and pastoring. I've even seen 3 local teenagers believe and be baptized. You don't know how big that is in the city of New Orleans, where it's probably more common to hear of a teenager either being killed or killing someone else and them being baptized at Harvest Church. Jay Ingram. Jay has a claim to the impact of IBC Louisville that really cannot be matched in some ways, as Amy's grandma was converted at IBC Louisville as a young girl in the 1940s, which changed the trajectory of her family. He particularly notes the ministry of Shelby County Young Life Ministry, where multiple students have come to faith and have been baptized. Nate and Jenny Shane. They've served over a decade in Mozambique, and they were able to see indigenous leaders raised up and entrusted with gospel ministry as the Shanes are now leaving their work in Mozambique. One of the highlights for the Shanes ministry in Mozambique was to see the Yao people receive God's word over their culture, particularly the cultural initiation rites, where adults would sinfully teach young children to be proud, and not just to be proud, but would also commit sexual and moral acts with them and teaching them to be sexually promiscuous. And they saw Christians there take these old initiation practices and replace them with new ones. What were those new practices? Cultural commitments to God's word, responsibility towards their family, and a responsibility to care toward the needs of their neighbors. I've heard Nate share that so many times, and it always amazes me. Praise God. Glenn and Bethany Moore, he says, in the 12 years that they have been international missionaries, they were never forgotten by their sending church, which Glenn said this is unheard of. He said, you go meet all these other missionaries, especially if they've been out for 10 to 20 years, they don't even know their sending church anymore. He also tells a story where, I think it's called in Sikkim, he took 8 people out who were terrified to share the gospel. Glenn even encouraged them the night before, look, Jesus doesn't need you for missions. If you're afraid to share the gospel here, you know, I'll just do it. And Glenn testifies how in this encouragement towards them, prayers for them, they were so bold the next day that they were even sharing the gospel with police officers and authority figures there, and they saw people come to Christ. Bethany also noted God miraculously provided 4 translators to begin translating the Bible into Kham. If that's not how it's pronounced, Bethany, I'm from Mississippi, I apologize. And she said these translations would then be retaught in a closed country, which led to the conversion, listen to this, of multiple Buddhist monks in a town where they could not reach. Steve and Valerie Keating, they said that one of the things that is encouraging them is knowing that they're being prayed for, that the church is available to them. The encouragement and support has always been there. They've been remembered and known, though the church, even at Emmanuel here in Louisville, has been transient. The last 3 years, they have seen a tangible increase in the health of the churches because of the word being preached. Steve even shared a little while ago, they're praying for Emmanuel people to come to them. And I think as they were visiting on the trip, they actually ended up later coming to them. And this support has been great for the health of churches there. And then for your oldest missionaries here, and I mean old in a good way, Andy and Emily Morse, they said they were sustained clearly by the prayers of IBC while they were serving in Indonesia. And then they saw that church there where revitalization happened to have a deeper understanding of God's word, and that that church still to this day, as they've been back in the States over a decade, continue to bear fruit. And that church even gained a biblical vision to see their work as sending Andy and Emily back to us. And how great of a blessing has that been to us? Wish I could share more. I did my best to get many stories, but maybe just one more and it'd be from our own church. Y'all can throw the picture up on the screen behind if y'all have that. Listen, because you invested in us and sent us out 10 years ago, 2 churches in New Orleans now exist. We built a building, which you can see in this picture behind me, on a spot that sat vacant for 15 years after Hurricane Katrina. With other like-minded churches, we now lead a school of ministry that actually gets 21 hours of seminary credit for people who are desiring to pursue ministry. And I just want to show you from this picture behind, you know, sometimes I'm not the most thrilled to see pictures of sacred moments, but since we have it, I figured I'd share it with you. Many of you know this past week I shared with you that we have a young boy, 6 years old, who has inoperable brain cancer. This is our church laying hands on him and praying for him in a building that did not exist 3 years ago. Emmanuel, there's a building in New Orleans with people loving a family who are walking through the worst trial that you can imagine because you sent us, because you prayed for us. This is why the word of the Lord is being honored to the ends of the earth. Now, there's been a lot of standing ovations to honor people, but I would just like to ask, if you are a missionary, church planter, or partner with the Emmanuel Network, would you please stand? I don't have any medals to physically put around your necks this morning, IBC Louisville, but if you are an Emmanuel Network missionary or church planter or partner, I want to invite you to stand and with me, if you would show your gratitude by giving a standing ovation to IBC Louisville. The word of the Lord has been honored and will continue to be honored because of your commitment, IBC Louisville. Now, I want to close by just drawing our attention to our Lord. Many of you, maybe as I preach this morning, you think, my home is not a community of love. I am not a person of love. I have failed Jesus even today in how I've spoken to my family members. Friends, the encouraging part about taking the Lord's Supper every week is not only to hear with your ears the word of God be preached, but to come and receive in your hands, and put in your mouth, and be told the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Have you not loved this week? Take courage. You're not the definition of love. Jesus is. And if you come to him this morning in faith, receiving the Lord's Supper, he will restore you. He will strengthen you. And even as you hear those words, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, what you really should hear, Christ's love for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would only know him more and more and more. That by your Spirit, Lord, that you would help us to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would comfort souls this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, even for those that I've called out this morning who are here this morning not in faith, Lord, that they would come seeking Jesus. Lord, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.